Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that promise. That one day, Father, we will dwell on Zion's hill. What a great day it will be, Father, to see our Lord Jesus Christ coming back for us, Lord, and then return to put his feet on Mount Olivet, that precious hill, looking over Zion's hill. And then, Lord, when you come that day for Israel, there will be a glorious day for the world when you set up your kingdom upon this earth. Father, we know Israel is looking for the Messiah. Lord, you have done what you have done, Father, being gracious to the Gentiles. You have put Israel aside, blind the eye for the eyes just for a period of time, that you may turn to us Gentile to take a people for thy name's sake, Lord. We are thankful for that, Father. We are thankful, Father, for the oracles that was given to Israel, and then pass it over to us for this last 2,000 years. We thank you, Father. We really are thankful, Lord. We ask for your grace this morning now, Father, as we come and sit at your feet and that we can learn something of your word. We pray, Father, your Spirit speak to every one of us, Lord, and understanding that whatever words, O Father, that you are giving out to an audience, Lord, that each individual one of us, Father, our hearts should be open to receive and to learn and to hear what you have to say, Father, for each and every individual one. And that as individual, Lord, that we are listening for what we can gain, what will benefit us, Father, in this walk, what you want to say to us, Lord, individually. For many, O Father, in the world today, in churches, Lord, many hearing, they hear not. But we pray, Father, that our ear is not hard of hearing, and our heart, Lord, is not closed up to reject your word. So we ask for your grace right now, Lord, that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My Father's house. Now when we talk about my Father's house, we don't just take that statement where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And there where I am, ye shall be also. When we talk about the Father's house, we know that the word Father's house, the house means God's abode. In my Father's dwelling place are many mansions. But we must also understand that it's not just a place. But when you use the word in my Father's house, we also could think of the meaning or the expression as my Father's household. You understand? In my Father's house, in my Father's household, my Father's house, my Father's dwelling place, have many, many children. He has many children. You and I, we are one of them. Right? So in my Father's household, we are a household of God as well. You see? So when we talk about, therefore, when we talk about my Father's house, remember that this is just a word that encompasses many, many sites where in it also that we are his dwelling place, we are his temple, that he dwells in us, and yet we are his family, and yet we are brother and sister to our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, so it's a very, it's a complex and a lot of complementary or supplementary to all this, you know, subject on the, my Father's house. All right, so now let us go to Psalms 36 and verse 8 and 9 that we read of last week, and we did. Psalms 36 verse 8 and 9. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. As the psalmist singing. Singing to the Lord. Talking about the people. Those that belong to him will be greatly satisfied, abundantly. Abundant life. Satisfied with the fatness of your house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Now, as I said this before, God is light and him is no darkness. And that's one verse that we should not take for granted. Right? In the book of John. 1 John 5, I think it says, for God is light and him is no darkness. And the strange thing is that it is emphasized, let's go to it again and look at it. 1 John. Yeah, like Brother Yingfang was saying, you know, how that Brother Andrew Peter mentioned the word heart. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. He didn't say with the mouth. Yeah, many times you read about it, but you don't see the emphasis of a certain words in the text. You will think, oh, the fool is saying in with his mouth. No. When you don't believe in God, it starts with the heart inside. You don't believe, that's why you confess with the mouth. That's what Jesus said. Whatever you eat with the mouth, you don't do, even though you don't wash your hand, whatever you take into your mouth comes out the other side, right? Comes out the other end. Right? You must have an entrance, you must have an exit. But Jesus said, what comes out from your mouth comes from your heart. Remember? That's why he was speaking about the Pharisees. They confess, but they confess, whatever they confess, is from your heart. So when a person says there is no God, of course, it's, first of all, it must be in the heart because it doesn't believe. Okay? Remember, the soul of confessions resides in your heart. Remember that, huh? Alright. So when we look at 1 John, now, verse 5. 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message. Now that's what we always emphasize. Said, this then is the message. Now people think that, well, only in this end time there is a message. Now we know that there is a message in every age. Right? And in every age the message is always the same. This then is the message. In every age, always the message, even today. And what it says here, which you have heard of him and declared to you. Now John, this is John, the beloved disciple of Christ. It's his, well, I'll tell you one thing about it, and I think that John was such a privileged disciple. I mean, because of his heart. You know, he always wanted to stay close to Jesus. He pushed his way among, I mean, maybe because, oh, because he's the youngest. But I don't think that's because he's the youngest. Well, I know that he's the youngest. Right? And he will push his way among all the disciples, and when Jesus sit down, he will just want to sit next to Jesus. You know, he just want to sit next to Jesus and lean his head upon his breast to hear his heartbeat. But it's not because he was the youngest that the others said, okay, you're younger, I'll let you sit next to Jesus. But no, but there is that desire to push his way through. Look at Thomas. Among the 12, yet he was so full of doubt. Right? What with disciples, what with Jesus, and he went out there healing the sick and raised, prayed for the lame to walk, blind to see. Thomas did that. Remember that. But all the disciples did that, and yet when Jesus was resurrected, he couldn't believe. He said, until I put my hand on his side, and the wound right in his hand, I'll believe. But John knew. You see, the closest you want to know more about Jesus, you get close to him. But a lot of people are saying, I'm a Christian, I'm okay, I go to church, I'm okay, I do my work, you know, pay my due and tithes and serving the community. And that's it. Let me tell you something. When I was in the Assemblies of God in the 60s, I trained the young people in the church to be soul winners. I have a Monday night prayer meeting. Anybody want to come and join? And I have a group. I teach them, taught them, pray. We begin at the time of prayer, we start at 8 o'clock. And we pray to 10 o'clock. And I teach them for an hour, then we pray. And there were manifestations even there when three sisters, you won't believe it, the three sisters, they all related. And they were at the altar, kneeling down and praying. And one night, God manifested something. One of them got up and stopped crying, ran out of the church. I wonder what was happening. So I chased after her. I said, what was happening? She was crying. It was so horrible. I said, what was horrible? I saw cries. It was, his back was torn, and his face was filled with blood. And he was saying, I was so scared. It was so horrible. And then when I went back, and the other two sisters, they were always crying and all that. And they were telling me what they saw. They were seeing vision. One of them, the first one was, what he saw was, she saw Jesus Christ was arrested. And then being judged. You know. The second one was when he saw Christ being whipped and all that. And then brought to the cross and hang on the cross. That was the one they ran off. And the third one, he said, I saw Jesus Christ buried and then resurrected. You know. But what happened to them today, I have no idea. Because I left the church. God can be gracious to all, they can be gracious. And if your heart wanted to draw yourself close, that's what the Bible said. If you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. You know, there are a lot of people that don't know how to pray, they just don't know how to fight warfare. You know. They have problems, they don't know how to pray. You know, when you pray, you need to be specific. You know who, you need to know who your enemy is. The people out there are not your enemies. Those that reject the truth are not your enemies. Your husband, your wife are not your enemies. Your children, your father, mother are not your enemies if they're your conflict. The enemy is the devil. And until you recognize how to fight, you don't know how to pray. You see. The weapons of warfare are not carnal. They are spiritual to the tearing down of stronghold, as Paul said. And we do need to realize how to pray and how to attack the devil. You know. So, as I said then, God is no respecter of person. And also he can be gracious to whom he wanted to be gracious. But my days in the Assemblies of God in the 60s, it's over. Even though I taught the people to go out there and so many, we went to the hospital, we went to the Botanic Garden, on the roadside coffee shop, we witnessed to people. Stand there right there, give out the tract and speak one to one. Taught them how to do it. So many. And we brought a lot of young people to the fellowship. You know. But what is that? That is just part of work. That's just part of the desire to do something for God. Right? But that does not mean it is a point you gain to be able to say to the Lord, because I did this, I deserve eternal life, I deserve this, I deserve a blessing. No. Whatever you have done for God, do not think that because what you've done for God is something that you can ask God to give you a benefit. No. There are a lot of women preachers out there that have no place in the pulpit.
And then got gifts of healing and prayer for people. Fine, good enough. But you know what? Their place is not here. And people said, wow, but then why did God bless them? Because you see, as long as the name of Christ is ministered, God can do anything He wants. Right? Yes. But God is not in all this. There's one preacher out there in America. I don't have to mention his name. They were Pentecostal. The mother was a preacher. One day when they came across Brother Brown's message, the whole church changed. And the son told the mother, you know what the prophet said now? You know what? He showed us the scripture. Because the mother was a preacher. So, what benefit do you get now? And the mother says, nothing. Now I have to step down from the pulpit. But a lot of people think that's alright. That's the problem. Once you know the truth, like the woman preacher, the woman realized that she had no place in the pulpit. No matter how great she had been preaching, how many souls have come to the Lord, she needed to step down immediately. And she did. And you continue, but you send a day of judgment. And you might hear the word that say, from the mouth, that come from the mouth of Jesus, God never knew you. Because what we have here, in every age, even as John wrote this early on, said this then is the message, only one message in every age. It's the same message all the time. It's not about, oh, Jesus Christ come and save the world. No, it's not that. It's not that Jesus Christ can, and He died as a savior for you and me. He died for sinners. No, that's not the message. The message is something, it's very clear what is written here. Look. This then is the message which you have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Simple. God is light. In Him is no darkness. God is light. In Him is no tradition. So first of all, you need to know that God is light. If you have an attitude of being a pagan or an unbeliever, an infidel or atheist or an agnostic, you're going to hear the message, I don't believe in God. What is this? What is gospel? What is gospel? This and that. You have all your mind makeup. But until you realize that God is light, that your idea, your tradition, believe that there is no God. Some people don't realize that, huh? Some people say, I have no religion. I already said this. When you are an atheist, you already have your own religion. You know what a religion is? Religion is actually basically an ideology. In today's world context. Not from the Greek, not from the Latin word religo. Which actually originally that's what the Latin used that word religo. Going to the Bible, religo means to bind you back. Somebody bind you back to himself. That's supposed to be what it was. Because that's how Latin used that word from the scripture. Religo. But today, are all religion really going back to God? No. It doesn't bind you back to God. So if you are whatever different religion out there, naming religion, does it bind you back to God? Not at all. You think that it will take you back to God? It doesn't. You can go and do your mantra, your prayer, your recitation, or go to the mountain up there and be a hermit and sitting there with the lotus position, and you're going to go into meditation, into what? You're not going to be bound back to God. Because that is your religion. That is your tradition, your ideology. But the Bible clearly tells us back then in John's day, they have a lot of religion already, right? You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They even had the Hellenistic culture, Hellenistic religion. They worship Astar, they worship Diana, they worship Jupiter, Thor, and whatever you have. And John said, this is only one message. This then is the message, only one. And that message came from God. That God Himself is light. In Him is no darkness, no tradition, no human ideology. And so if you can believe that God is light, then you approach that light. That's why in this psalm said, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see the true meaning of life." Lights open up to clear our darkness. The day I saw the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what happened? I realized that I was a sinner. Huh? And there are those who are idol worshippers. The day that the light came to them, what did they do with the idol up there, the altar in their house? I mean, it may be a little Buddha, a sculpture in that is made of gold. What do you think happened to it? What do you think will be? So they just simply go out there and burn it. They put a bonfire, they put that golden idol into the fire, let it burn. When it melts away, whatever become of it, they probably smash it up and bury it somewhere. Huh? You see, oh, well, people say, but that idol is not gold, we should sell it to somebody else who might want to worship it. So are you passing your idol, your deity around, now that you don't believe in it? See? That's why when the day when I came to the message, I said, oh, my theological book, I want to sell it off second hand, I just give it to anybody who wants it, take it. Because I know it's good commentary in that, some good theology in that, but I don't want to have any darkness mixed with it, with what God has given me. So this then is the light. Now, I want you to know that we are the household of God. Who is our Father? Our Yahweh. Who is Jesus Christ to us? He's our Savior, our brother, firstborn. Isn't it? Is it not true? True, wonderful. Correct, isn't it? But who is our Lord Jesus Christ? How do you, when you worship Him, what do you call Him? You call Him Lord. You call Him Master. Right? And we are right now being prepared as wife, having intimacy with our Lord Jesus, who is our husband. Right? Help you sure. Correct? Yes. But I want you to turn to the book of Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2 verse 16. Hosea is somewhere in the hiding among all those little whoever fire priest read it. Hosea chapter 2 verse 16.
And it shall be at that day, fear the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baya.
So you got that spirit from God. This was a prophet Hosea prophesying to the children of Israel. Dealing with Israel. Now we're talking about what these last few books of the Old Testament usually about the future concerning Israel. In that day, it says, that thou shalt call me Ishi. You'll no longer call me Baali. Now what Baal, you know what Baal means, huh? Baal, you always refer to the god of the hidden god, the paganistic god Baal. But the word Baal means greatness, powerful. But Baali means someone who is terrifying. Someone who is awesome. Someone who is great. That Baali means God, the Lord God, who is master of all. But Hosea said, you in the future, you in that day you will no longer call me Lord, Master, God. You will call me my husband. You will call me my beloved. But you will read now. Even as this book was written in that day, future. But as I said, when you look at the parallel between Israel, natural, and Israel, spiritual, the top and the shadow. We are living in the last day, in that day. The day that is before the coming of the great day of the Lord. And right now, what do we have? What do we call our Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah, we call Him Master Lord, right? We can call Him my husband. Because I'm being made ready as a wife right now. You see, in my father's house, before God could have a family, he must have a son. I mean, that's where family come from, right? Family line come from the son. You understand, don't you? You understand? Family line is always traced down. It's passed from son. That's why the Bible always shows us that. He created Adam. From there he took the side, from his side, gave him a woman. And so bring forth children. So all that we see in genealogy is always the firstborn. So God must have a son, and that's why we have that logos where the light comes from and brought forth today. Each and every one of us being a family of God. Because when Jesus marries us, we become a family of God. We become his household. You understand that? Alright. Psalms 95, 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with song. When we come to the house of the Lord, as I said, you know, we do not have we don't have a rule and regulation where we forbid people to sing and shout. I remember those days in the early 20th century. When people worship God before the Pentecostal came in, people are very solemn. Like the Baptists, like the Lutheran, and like the Anglican, when you stand up, you take a hymn book and you sing, "Oh Lord my God," very solemn, very serious. And in some words you say, "Hallelujah." No, it's a quack. But you see, those were tradition. You know what I'm saying? They were just tradition. And in certain church, the way they build their church, and you know, especially like the Catholic Church, they would have they have on both sides the kind of balcony, huh? That the preacher, sometimes the priest will speak from there. You know. And even some Anglican church do the same. So everything is a tradition. How they should build the church and put pictures and carving on the church. But you see, the church of God is very simple in those days. It's just a home. Just four walls. Even the tabernacle of Moses was so simple. Huh? And only the layer of the linen represents something. The gold, right? The bread, the candlestick represents something in his ministry. So, yes, people want to follow the tradition, they do it. But remember this, God lies in simplicity. The church of God is not an outward appearance. Oh, you go to the Philippines. I think the biggest denomination there is Iglesia Ni Cristo. Right? It's everywhere in all those islands. 7,011 islands? 7,100. Okay. Of course, when the high tide comes in, some islands disappear. So there are many islands, and many of these main big island cities, you see these churches. It's there, it's green and big. Competing with the Catholic Church. It's an ethnic thing, it's just a physical thing. But the Church of Living God is not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And he lives not in a house or a building made with stones. Right? The Bible said that. But a body. And as God lived in Christ when he was on earth, so God lives in us now. Isn't it? So God works from the inside out. So if your inside is not changed,
You don't expect outside to change.
No,
you won't. And that's the word they find, many people find difficult. Now let me share with you something. Let me just draw this. Now, let me write three words, and I want to ask you how important those three words are. Name, word, and work. The name of God, the word of God, and the work of God. Which of these three should be the top, the most important? And what is number two? And what is number three? Which one is the most important of all these three? The name of God, or the word of God, or the work of God? Huh? And now we'll have to prove to you, of course, what is the first one? For most important. The word or the work? The word of God. That is number one. What is number two? What is number two? In the eyes of God are the most important. Number two, which is the most important next after two? It's the name. That's number two. And lastly, of course, is the work. Now, what is it so? Well, in the book of Lasco, if you can see, I think it should be Psalms 138, verse 2. Now, a lot of people just don't understand scripture. They think, oh, well, you know, I have the name of Jesus. I believe in the name of Jesus. You know, God allows that to happen. A lot of people just use the name of Jesus. Yeah, sure. Did not Matthew chapter 7 tell us that? Lord, Lord, I've done this wonderful work in your name. I've come a demon in your name. I raised the dead in your name. I heal the sick in your name. Yes. God allows that. But God said, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Wow, they're going to be shocked. A lot of charismatic preacher, a lot of Pentecostal preacher, as well as those in the States on television. Huh? Psalms 138, verse 2. Read it, Brother Kagan.
I worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. How many names does God have? Many, right? Hide the name. Huh? Isn't it? Jehovah Nissi. Or we call Yahweh Nissi. Yahweh Sikundu. Yahweh Raphael. And many more. But God has magnified His word above all His name. What is it so? That's why I said, you took the name of Jesus. You said you have Jesus. Oh, you have done the wonderful work in Jesus. We pray, spread the gospel. We have outreach and outstation. We have so many big deal. Big deal. The charismatic church in Singapore, how many of them became big in less than 5-6 years? And I have doing this ministry for how many years now and just have you lost? Huh? Why? And that minister over from Penang asked me to join him. I said, if I want to be as big as you have, because I baptized him. And he left the Baptist church and he got 2,000 people just in a year or two. I said, if I wanted to have that number of people, I cannot preach the word of God the way I know the word of God to be true. I will have to preach the way you people go
to make these people happy, that God wanted to be rich. Right? Because God is multi-zillion, as they used to say. Huh? And even some said, the wealth of the world belongs to the saint. Yeah, I know that, but not now. It belongs to us, that's true. But that we don't care about it. Do we care about it? But people are earning all this big money. You know, the total draw. The total draw. I think the result was out yesterday or 2 days ago. And one fellow got $6 million. They're $12 million. And one of them got $6 million. The other $6 million was shared by another group over what I have no idea. $6 million! I'd be jumping for joy. And I think he had a headache the whole night. What are you going to do with the money? See? It's nothing. You know what I mean? When you have no, if you don't have the word of the Lord, you don't have Christ in you, yeah, you are nothing. So how important therefore is the word of God? And so I magnify my word. You know why? Before anything ever exists, before there was ever any atom, the Spirit of God was always there. Right? Does he have a name? No. If you are born as if you are born and right in a plane and you drop off on a plane and land in the jungle, and you're the gorilla come and take care of you like a thousand, huh? Does he have a name? I mean, he's lost in the jungle, does he need a name? He doesn't need that because nobody's there, nobody knows him, he knows nobody, he doesn't know anybody. So the gorilla monkey raises him up, all he does is and he's talking, what is his name? No name. God in the beginning was not even God, because God is an object of worship. That was just the Spirit. Wonderful, huh? What about the word? He had no word expressed. It was all there in the mind, that's all. So that's why the Bible in John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then the Word came forth. And that was the Logos. It came forth in the Word body, as Bauman used to define. I think that's the only way that we can define. A Word body. Huh? Then he stood there and said, let there be light. Then creation came forth. Isn't it? Yes. But when God, in the book of Ephesians, Paul said that God counsels with himself. Whatever he wants to do, everything he wants to counsel with himself. And then he planned everything, then he brought forth the Logos. But already in God's mind, this Logos that would be soon be manifest in the flesh, he shall be called Jesus. So the Word is above his name. Then that's where the work of God comes forth. You see. So always remember. Don't think about, oh, what we do for God, what we have done for God. No. You know, all the work that God I have done for God, what is that? It is God who has given me the grace to do it. And I did it. That's all. What value is there? If the value of all my work, if I cannot bear fruits that pertains to the Word of God, then I'm nothing. Really nothing. You see. And you know, that's why I said the mystery of iniquity. Though the Jews can say, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It's because why? The work is a work of iniquity is because they put the other party on an imbalanced field. Huh? Put the other party at a disadvantage. You hear all these charismatic preachers preach about what? All they have is God is a multi-millionaire, God wants you to be rich, God is a prosperous, God, he wants to prosper you, this and that, let us go work for God. Believe in Jesus Christ and all that, shouting jump and all that. But did they preach the real truth? Did they preach the real truth? I wonder how much of the Bible, I wonder, are the charismatic preacher really preaching?
Huh? Oh yeah, they have cell group. They have cell group. They discuss the word of God. That's okay, they did. But how much do they know? And when they discuss the word of God, how many times when they discuss our traditional opinion? Man-made opinion. Now our Friday meeting that we are starting this Friday, when we come together, when we study the Word, we want to know what the Bible actually teaches. We don't want man-made opinion. We have to make sure that we can prove from the Scripture and the way it should be proven. Is that right? You know, I have this friend, as I always said, that he just got lost in tradition so much. That one day he believed that there is regeneration. That everybody in the world that are born will come back in the new heaven and new earth. Every creature, every lion that died, they will come back to life in the new heaven and new earth. Because what he said, the restoration. God said, I will restore. In the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah or Zechariah, I will restore. And the book of Acts, the regeneration that Peter talked about. So he believed that everything would be generated back. He now will come back to eternal life. Lion and mouse and cockroaches that die, every ants that die must come back to eternal life. I said, wow. I said, what happened to the heaven and the earth? They pile up. When I told him that, then he stopped. He got a shock on him. He stares. He make it quiet. And I get it. He realized that's nonsense. All the cockroaches that die comes back. All the mosquitoes, you whack them flat, it comes back. Huh? You see, we have people that believe in polygamy. How do they believe in polygamy? They can try to prove from the Scripture. Yeah, you know what? That is quite true. Like many people were saying, you can take the Bible and you can give it any interpretation. And that's 100% true. Anybody can interpret the Bible. Because at the moment you open the Bible or open a book, when you read it, you start interpreting. Jack and Jill went up the hill. You start interpreting, right? If you start interpreting, and if we compare my interpretation and your interpretation about Jack and Jill went up the hill, probably different. He took a pail of water. What kind of pail is it? I said, it's a great pail. It's a big one. He said, no, it's not. And he fell down and broke his crown. What crown? Why did he wear a crown and broke his crown? Or did he break his crown on his head? You might say the crown. He said, I said, no, he has a golden crown. He was playing with you. And that is very true because we can interpret anything. That's why people make movie of a book. Normal, the audience, they give their interpretation, right? They try to, and sometimes they talk to the author, what are you thinking about here when you describe this and that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I feel God to not fear him, the sense that I'm scared of him. Right? That would be Bali. No, I reverence him. The word fear though means to reverence him, to know that he is someone that you should respect and reverence. That he meant just what he said and said what he meant. And this is a serious book. You know, many of the Christians don't treat the Bible the way that the Muslims treat their Quran. And some other religion, they treat their sacred book. That's true. You know, we have their liberty, and so we treat the Bible and speak anything we want and teach anything we want out of that. But God wants us to know that I magnify my word above all my name. You take one, what did the Bible say? You add one word, you subtract one word from your word, God's going to have do to you. You think about it. He won't even wipe your name out of the book of life. Oh, but brother God, how can it be? If I'm elected, I'm predestined, my name is in the book of life, how can it be removed? Good question, huh? Once saved, always saved, right? Of course I believe that. You see, the problem is that you do not know where you stand.
Because if you say that you believe that you are born again, you have the Spirit of God, but then how do you treat this word? By their fruit you shall know them. What fruit? What is the fruit? Jesus said, by the fruit you shall know them. He's a Christian. Huh? Because the time when I walked with him, well, he came to the office, all the F words, all the S word. But now he's changed. And he said he's a Christian. Now he's so well behaved. You know, he speaks nicely. And he don't talk about Jesus Christ. Oh, that's the fruit of a Christian. Really, that's what it is? Is that what it is? See what the Bible says in the book of Matthew. People just take interpretation as the one. Matthew chapter 7. Huh? What is said in verse 15? Beware the false prophet, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree bring forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. What is Jesus Christ referring to? This word has been taken out of context. They said, oh, he's a good he's a Christian because, you know, his life changed, he speaks good, and he lived a nice life. Hey, do you know that the Buddhists do the same? Huh? The Buddhists live a better life than many Christians. Yeah, they live good life, isn't it? They don't even harm any little creature. And what about the Jains in India? You know the Jain? They always cover their mouth with a mask, paper mask. Why? Because they are not supposed to breathe in the bacteria because they're killing it. Right? Because bacteria are living things, they are not supposed to do that. They try to prevent as much killing as possible. Yeah, that's Jainism. See? So, by the fruit you shall know them. Doesn't mean that by the fruit you look at man, oh, he's good and he's living a life, and he must be a Christian. No, not that. So now, says by the fruit you shall know them. Go to chapter 12 of Matthew. Alright? Verse 33. But now you shall know by the fruit you shall know them mean when you look at these other verses. Chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of viper, how can you, being evil, speak good thing? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what is corrupt fruit? What is good fruit? It's what comes from your mouth. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Beware a wolf in sheep's clothing. Hey, if every one of us here are sheep, or even think about the natural sheep, and if there is really a wolf, a literal natural wolf, putting on a sheep's clothing and going in there among the sheep, would the sheep recognize that this is a wolf in sheep's clothing? As long as the wolf pretends to eat grass, don't open its mouth, nobody knows. But the moment he opens his mouth, what comes out from his mouth? Do you think that wolf in sheep's clothing is going to say, bah, bah? Does he do that? What comes from his mouth? But it's a wolf. Ooh. That's how you know that's a wolf. So Jesus Christ was using the same parable, same illustration. By the fruit you shall know them. You're talking about all these who do not speak the true word of God. They come to you like ravening wolves in sheep's clothing, but when they open their mouth, oh! When they start to preach and start to teach and confess, God is a Trinitarian, or God is a Trinity. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah. See, and when you go to heaven, you're going to see three truths. Now, they'll preach all this thing which is not the truth, because from their mouth, they uttered all this corrupt fruit. Because if you are a tree of life, what do you bear? Huh? When Jesus Christ said, God sent him down to die for us, right? But what was he? Was he a wood seed? A seed wood, right? He was the original seed wood. Seed wood. When you plant a seed wood, what fruit do you get? The fruit that bears seed, that is seed wood. Mango goes down, mango comes up. Seed wood goes down, seed wood comes up. So if you are born of the word of God, you must be a seed word. And what do you confess with the mouth? The Lord Jesus Christ. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He was the word of God made manifest. And this is the word of God of life. That's what we read in Psalms. The light. God is light. He will give us light. When we see light, we'll get light. Now these are the deeper thoughts of the word of God. And I don't think you hear that in the system. What comes out from our mouth, our confession, make us what we are. That's why those stand before Christ in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Those three verses, I always remind a lot of preachers, you better take heed to these three verses here in Matthew chapter 7, 21, 22, 23. And make sure that you are not among this. For he says here, not everyone that come unto me or say unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. They can call him, Lord, Lord. And they can dance in the church and shout in the church and prophesy in the church. Lord, Lord, oh Lord, have mercy. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for this. Lord, Lord. You call him Lord. What did Jesus say? A lot of people call him Lord. Yeah. They can call him Lord one moment, but next moment they're not. Lord, Lord. Not everyone said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Tell me. You see, this verse 22 says, many of us said to me that, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name, cast out devils, in your name, done many wonderful work. And that will I profess unto them. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, and there are a lot of people who take this verse and put it over in Matthew chapter 25 and mess themselves up to the foolish virgin. To the foolish virgin, Jesus said, I never knew you, depart from me. He never said that they are workers of iniquity. But these are workers of iniquity. Yep. They heal the sick. They make the blind to see in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But did they really preach the word as it should be? And that's why a lot of people out there, what did they believe in? As Bob would say, every Sunday they worship, Satan is being worshipped. Not realizing they are in darkness, in the system, in the tradition. I want you to do this. I can never overemphasize the importance of the Word of God. You understand? Alright, let's continue. Let's go to Psalms 101. This is the psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye lands. So the Lord with gladness come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not with ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and do his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Remember, the house of God is always joy. We worship the Lord. Let's go to the book of Hebrews now. Chapter 10. Verse 23, 24, 25. Can somebody read if we find that verses? Hebrews 10, 23 to 25.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another so provoked unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Right. Here we have, you know, when you talk about the Father's house, it's about fellowship, it's about worship, it's about hearing the word of God. The most important thing, as we know, is the hearing of the word of God. Then the worship, then the fellowship, and not socialization. And it's all about word fellowship. It's about provoking one another unto love and to good works. You know, we are not an island by ourselves. No man is an island. The house of God, the fellowship of God, the Father's house is not an island. Believe me, how foolish can that Methodist woman who run that Methodist house in Bombay said to the pastor at that time, I want you to believe that in heaven you will see the Methodist there, the Presbyterian there, the Baptist there, the Mennonites there, the order of God created the denomination. No, God did not create denomination. It's man that made denomination. Huh? That's what Brother Bram was so. Brother Bram talked about this message. The message that he brought, that God gave it to him to tell the people to get out of the system, get out of tradition. And he said that this message cannot be organized. This message cannot be denominated. What did the follower do to it? They did. And I'm not one of them. There are people who say, oh, you believe Brother Branham. William Branham, right? Then you must be a Branhamite. I say, look, are you a Presbyterian? Say, yeah. Are you a good one or a bad one? There are a whole lot of Presbyterian out there. Are you one of them? And there are different kind of Presbyterian. You call us a Bible Presbyterian. There are different kind of Presbyterian. You all know that, don't you? Which one are you? Huh? I said, I'm a Christian. I believe Brother Branham is. I believe Paul and Moses and Peter and all this. And I'm looking at the revelation of God. I'm not looking at just what Brother Branham said without understanding what the Bible says. Even as Paul teaches, when we read the scripture, what he wrote, we still have to refer to the Old Testament to see the whole picture, right? That's what the Bible says. God says, how can we teach my people knowledge? And the Bible said, a little here and a little there. Right? Huh? How can I teach them knowledge? And people think that by reading, oh, that's like my Presbyterian friend. And you know what? He told me that, you know, because you are so always looking for deeper things of God, deeper revelation of God's word, that's why you are caught in all this false doctrine. My doctrine to him is false. Because why? He believed what he wanted in the tradition. And I asked him to prove to me. And that's when the more he argued with me, realized that he cannot argue anymore. He has stopped arguing over the years now. I proved him all that I proved him here. I'm not saying, I said, you answer me then. Prove me wrong. You can't. If the Bible is not the source of our absolute, then we do not have fruit that we are bearing. That is according to the Word of God. But once you have the Word of God, the fruit of God's Word, that Word in our life, what happened? God works from within out. Right? You see? That's why my mom did not quite understand at first. You know? But she loved the Lord. She loved the Lord. And she's stubborn, and you know, I talked to her many times, and then one day I stopped talking to her much about it until the Lord opens the way. And the Lord has a way of opening up to a person's understanding. And strangely enough, when she met her cousin at her brother's funeral, and they talked about the work and they talked about me, of course, my mom was kind of excited and told her cousin, "Oh, my son is a preacher, go here and there." Of course, I know her cousin because we worked together when we were working among the youth in the schools, the student of the school. We were called youth ambassador or Christ ambassador, things like that. So after that, I talked to my mom and realized that the only way for her is to let her have the large tract of Brother Bram that I printed, which is no longer out, which is no longer in stock. It's already out of print. She read it and she came, and after a while she said, "You want to get baptized," and all that stuff, right? You know, I tried to tell her that if you want to, you love the Lord with all your heart, go all the way. Don't go halfway. Because God wants a person who is a disciple, not a follower. You know. But she couldn't understand that. She was offended. She wouldn't want to keep her hair long. And to keep her hair long, she said that only Indians have long hair. We Chinese don't have long hair. And long hair in Chinese means you are Assam. You know what's Assam? Assam means Ama, means the one who is a maid for the rich Tai Tai. You know? That's how she opposed to it. You know? And I told her, I said, you know, you don't need to have your rings on your ear anymore. Because I showed her that this holding the ear is a representation of slavery. And the Ishmaelites are like that. In those days, they don't have that. She was offended. But I said, "Mom, I'm not telling you to remove it. I'm not telling you to keep long hair. I'm showing you what the Bible said." Well, she was very angry. After that, okay. After a while, 2 weeks later, I think 3 weeks, she came to church and gave me the gold, the earring. And so I want to be baptized. That's why I baptized her. And that's why I love my mom for it. She was troubled. She saw something. She knows it's true to obey. And that's when the Lord reward her with that vision. And I believe the Lord could do the same. If you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. And you know, God give it us. And my heart goes out to everyone I can talk to show them the word and let them know we are at the end time. What are we at now? Look, Putin, last week, what did he say? In a big conference. "I had enough of what USA is dealing with. You know, saying about us and this and that." And he said, "We have missile. We have a special weapon that can fly for 1,000 kilometers an hour or something like that, and it could hit." And he showed her all whatever weapon they have. Wow. And the following day, news came out. America military man said, "I think he's lying. He's just, you know, showing off, telling all that story. They don't have their weapon." And the sister in America texted me. I said, "Hey sister, America now is shaking, huh? The military in America is shaking now, right? America the great wanted to be the policeman of the world." I said, "Since the day that Brother Abraham said in the 60s, I think, America is finished. I no longer pray for America, right?" Remember that? When I read that, I said, "I stopped praying for America too." It's gone. Billy Graham died. What did her daughter say in the interview? When they were asked, "What do you think about 911? And she said, "Frankly, What do you expect America to be? They have taken up prayer out of school. They have taken the Bible out. People can't even pray in a restaurant. Instead of saying Merry Christmas, it's a happy holiday. And all that stuff. Now, when somebody takes a gun and go and shoot somebody out there in school, how many killing takes place every year? Now you want God to bless America? In God we trust. And you sing the anthem, from sea to shining sea, no longer. From sea to shining sea, no more. It will be a muddy, muddy sea that's going to flood the whole America. You know what? People have seen visions about Florida. Even Sister Bree recently just told me about her vision, her dream last few days ago. What's happening to Florida? The missile is going to be, I tell you, know what? There have been people who said that God is going to prophecy or vision that they have. The missile is coming out from the East Coast, hit East Coast. And West Coast is going to have a big earthquake. Time for America to be gone from the Bible prophecy. That's why in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, America no longer exists. When that great tribulation comes, America is gone. Russia is gone. Only left two superpowers. And that is the beast. The first beast, which is the European Commonwealth. And the King of the East. And that's what we are seeing. Look at China. And what do you see in the paper yesterday? They even showed a chart. That Russia have more weapons than America. Huh? The last 5, 6, 7 years, 10 years back, America trying to show off their weapon. Talk big. There's no country in the world that can match our military might. There are so much news on the television. You know, and my wife was telling me, and she said, yeah, there's no country. I said, don't listen to it. Don't you believe it. America is flexing its muscle. But back in the 60s, end of 60s to early 70s, I wrote a series of messages. In fact, 3 messages for the publication with a magazine in Singapore, which is no more, a Christian magazine. I entitled it Time and Science. Time and the Ark. Time and Oak, one of them is Time and Middle East. It's on our website. And at that time, I was sharing with the church. I said, in the Cold War, they want to dismantle all the warheads and all these things. I said, do you think that that Russia is going to destroy that warhead? No, they're going to keep it. And when they do this, their own research, you think they want to boast, like America boasts, that we have this, we have that, we have this, that. No. They have known that America is being helped by Israel. Because they are friends. And you know what? Someone texted me that day after he heard the news, he called me a passage of script of text of what Brother Abraham said. That God have to raise up Russia like God raised up Nebuchadnezzar against the children of Israel was so disobedient. To have let the bar down. And America had let the bar down. You know, when I studied all the history back then in Europe, you know, I felt so sad for UK. UK was the country, the nation that produced the King James Version Bible. Huh? Bible was printed there and grabbed around the world. Wow, this and that. But what happened in UK today? What happened to UK? You go into history in the 60s, the hippies and all those free sex things that go around. Drugs that were going around. And you have all these pop song, pop groups like the Beatles and some of them funny names they have, and they were all involved in drugs. John Lennon was on drugs. And now you go to the UK, you don't see church, you don't see any, you go to any church, you hardly see any young men, young people. They're all old folks only. Yes, that's true. We're trying to help one brother out there in UK.
Apparently now he lost his faith also. He tried. You know, he wasn't a message, but he came across the website and we tried to help him. We sent him some money to help him, you know, to supply the church building and all this, but nobody's coming, I guess. You see. And what about America now? Now you see the photograph in 2 days ago, I think the newspaper, the church in Pennsylvania, the people attending church with rifles. Did you see that in the paper? How many of you saw that? Huh. It's in the paper. They attend church with AK rifle, assault rifle. Was it?
Combine.
Wow. Just think about it. There's no safe place. We thought that that's only happening over there in the Middle East. Only happened perhaps in India. Well, the Hindu will go to the church and kill the people. In America. I wonder, sometimes the pride of people. The pride. You see, we are all born into this world in sin. Adam was created in the image of God, yet there are attributes of God. Because what's in the Father is like the Son, alright? Like Father, like Son, isn't so? You all agree with me now? God created Adam in his own image, right? What do you expect Adam to be? A murderer? Never tell a lie? No. No, no. But what happened to us? When you have the two seed line mixed together, where the serpent seed came from, and that's the sly, cunning work of Satan. When he influenced the serpent, used him as an instrument to inject into the spirit, into that serpent seed, and came for king. Well, king to worship God, of course. But look at his revelation. Already the offering of a sacrifice showed to us that he did not have the truth completely, all of it. He worshiped God, yes. He got once a sacrifice, the best. Yes, you know, God wants the best. Took the best pumpkin, best grape bunch, and best of everything in the garden that he made with his own hand, offered to God. And God rejected it. Why happened? What they call what? Loose face, huh? What we talk Chinese, a lao ku ye. The tire, the air of the tire balloon leaks up. You know, because he was the firstborn. Abel came after him. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. So he's not happy. We Chinese go, come on now. Right, not happy. The spirit is turning up. And that's where that spirit of the devil is. That's why Satan, Lucifer, before he was Satan, wanted to be like God. He wanted to be like God. Pride lifted him up because he was so beautiful. The Bible says so, right? Wow, he was beautiful. He was the most beautiful and most intelligent, knowledgeable of all the angels of the Lord. But he wanted to sit in the place where God sits. And that's what happened to Cain. Went out there and talked to Abel. And it's all about religion. Huh. I can just imagine how the conversation go. Hey, Abel. You think your God accept your sacrifice? You're better than me, is it? Let me tell you my revelation is actually correct. Only God doesn't like it. And blah, 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 blah. And all that you may be able to say, you know, well, I'm just sorry. God just accept mine. Maybe if you listen to what God said, you know, you won't be accepted. Hey, you're trying to talk back. I want you to know, you know how conversation can actually go. And then in the moment, he clapped him just like that. In the fit of anger, he clapped him. You saw the paper today about a nanny who killed the two children? She was poor, she could not have what this rich family have, the way you have to look after the two children, 13 years old and 8 years old. And oh, she was just so upset, she killed the children. Murder them! That's not why anger, remember to control your temperament.
Don't let anger get into here. Don't let frustration get into it. When you're driving down the road, somebody comes to your path. You know, I see people like that, huh? And then your road rage, you go around there, you go in front of his car, block him and punch him in the face. You see those reports? Unbelievable. And look at the paper report about this principal, 71 years old. How he killed an old woman on the road, pedestrian crossing. He was far away, and he was green light. He just hauled at the woman who was crossing, old lady. Old lady was crossing the road, pedestrian crossing. Yeah, the old lady may not have the right of way. But you are far away, hold, you have the right one. Hold, 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 go towards the 50 meters, hold, 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 go there to her, hold, hold, hold. And the last minute, straight the car, and the last of the car hit the old lady and she died. Why? You have the right way, I know that. But you don't have the right to kill a person. The anger spirit. I've rejected anything that is right. My right is more important than anybody else's right. You see, God's word is right to us. If we love the Lord and we are part of God's household, and we say that we want the fellowship, we want to worship God. Don't worship God with the mouth. Worship God with your heart, and you can't worship God with your heart until you know His word, until you accept His word and follow Him. Jesus said, you love me, keep my commandment. And don't tell me you love me if you don't keep my commandment. A lot of people don't realize that. You love me, you keep my commandment. Yeah, I'm keeping the commandment, Lord. You keep the commandment the way God said it, not the way you interpret it. That's what the lesson I've learned. Huh. How important it is to us. Now, let me show you something else here right now. You know, when God deals with us, let's go first of all to John 21. Alright, John 21. John chapter 21. Verse 15 to 22. Brother Luke, read it. John chapter 21, verse 15 to 22.
So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said to him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. Said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter turned about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayed thee? Peter seeing him said to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me.
Alright, so now, here we have Jesus asking Peter one day, you know, these disciples, the disciples just have been with Jesus for a good while now. You never know any time that Jesus just pop a question. So now we all say that we walk with the Lord Jesus. One day Jesus will pop you a question. Through anyone or any means, a question comes to you from the Lord. How are you going to deal with it? Peter was the disciple who was boisterous. Very outspoken. You know what I mean? want to do a lot, very zealous for the Lord. And Jesus came one day and said, Peter, lovest thou me? Now in the English word you have the word love. I already explained that in my book. Agape. Agape thou me. Agape thou me. That was the word that Jesus used. Not filio. You know we have three kinds of love. Remember? Eros, filio, and agape. Eros is between husband and wife, or any physical love among each other, mother, children, and all this. Eros. Filial is brotherly love. And agape is the love of God. So Peter, agape thou me. And then Peter replied, Lord, you know I feel your thee. He never used the word agape. Why? Because the agape love is too high a standard for him or something. Huh? Second time Jesus asked him, Peter, agape thou me. Lord, you know I feel your thee. Oh, Jesus realized that Peter had a hard time. Okay, finally the third time, Peter, feel your thou me. And Jesus said, Peter said, Lord, you know I feel your thee. And he was troubled. What did Jesus ask him? Each time Jesus said, you Peter, love me, feed my sheep. And then Peter, then Jesus began to tell him about when you are young, you know, how did you dress yourself, but when you're old, you need to put your hand up somebody, hold your hand and walk with you, right? Correct, isn't it? And how the Peter would die. But then Peter looked around and then he saw this disciple of Jesus. That's John. And he asked this question. He asked Jesus, what shall this man do? What shall this man do? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that your own, what is that to you? Follow me. It's none of your business, Peter. If this man should tarry till I come, you say you love me, follow me. Understand this message? Okay, let me just last with you. We have in the world a people. Right. What's the population of the world today? 7 billion, right? 7 billion. Now the 7 billion, we have about a third of the world people that call themselves Christian. Catholic, Mennonites, anybody, any cult that holds to the Bible call himself Christian and follower of Jesus. Percentage. Correct. But this is not all the point. Right. And then we have that the group that, well, who will say that they are really in love with the Lord. Okay? Now remember this, God sent the gospel to preach to the world, the gospel to be disseminated and to be propagated around the world that Jesus Christ died for sinners. That's really basic. So we had about 30% of the world population call themselves Christian, mix of color, Catholic, and now. Then we have a smaller group that really say they're born again. Because we know that in today's population of Singapore, we are about 22% of people who call themselves Christian. Right? Back in the 60s, it was only about 6% or so, I remember. When the charismatic comes in, it grows. Ooh, 12% to more than 20% today. Very fast growing, huh? But you know the survey, I told you back in the late 1990s or I believe it was late 1990s. It was reported in the newspaper about the survey they were conducted. And in the survey, they asked this question. They posed this question to the the interviewee, okay? And ask this question, people. When you grow older, will you still maintain your faith and hold to this faith? And it was a surprise of a whole lot of percentage. I can't remember what percentage it was. That says, we may turn secular. So what is the faith? One time you say you're a Christian. You may be a Christian and go to church for 20 years. Then when you go there, it was fun when it last. I'm not going to church anymore. I just want to be a free thinker. You know what I mean? Yes, I know a lot of Christians. Great Christian, good Christian. They are no longer Christian. So not all Christians are Christian. Now those who are born again, they are really born again. Okay. So we have that small little percentage here. Huh? Of this circle, small circle. They say, okay, they are Christian. But now let me tell you something. God sent us a message. And within this whole Christian world, all this of Christian people, alright, that God sent a message to call up a people. In the little group here, the little group that actually believe the message, they follow the message of truth, not the message of Brother Branham. Okay, by sticking with his spoken word book or whatever he said, no. Mainly the message that he delivered was to get out of tradition, come back into the light. That's what John said. This time is the message that God is like in him, no tradition. But we have the Brother Mike going to a tradition of several Brother Abraham said, and they have all different groups fighting among themselves. Different doctrines. No difference. But when we come to the Word of God, we have light. Is that right? No. So if you are called, if you are given the Word, if the Word comes to you, among all these other groups, how will you react to it? How do you react to the Word? You see, I have this person, Presbyterian friend of mine. All those years when he argued with me, interestingly, he said this. Are you saying that only those who follow William Branham will make the rapture? I says, no. Many of them will not make the rapture. Then are you saying then that if you don't make the rapture, only a certain group of people will make the rapture? Then the rest of the denomination people out there, they're not going to make the rapture? That cannot be true, he said. Now, his concern was this. It cannot be. Everybody who believes must go. You know what I mean? The concern. Just appeared as yes. What would this man do? He is asking me, what about the rest of this Christian? What is that to you? When God calls you, you do it. Right? Two are in the field, one taken. Two are doing the milling, one taken. But what about the other guy? Lord? He's my Christian friend. What about him? That's no concern of yours. Some people are so concerned about other Christians. How can it be? You know, if I go out, the rest must go. You see, the problem is that we are so carnal in our thinking. We don't realize that God is working with the people. If Peter, you have to die, you die. If I want to let John see me till I come, what is that to you? And that's what Jesus, when he took the disciples, three of them, Peter, James, and John, the Mount Transfiguration, right? Why did he choose only three? Why these three? Always think about these things that Jesus is doing. Let us know he's narrowing the whole thing. What is the Peter, James, and John? What about the others? If I'm kind of like my friends thinking, Jesus said, Peter, James, John, and I'm James. Well, where are we going? You come with me and I'll show you. You know, you're seeing something wonderful. What about these others? What about Bartholomew, Andrew, and
Why? Jesus said, Papa Joel said to James, well, what is that to you now? You want to come up? When Jesus calls you, you move. You don't worry about the other person. They saw the Mount Transfiguration, they saw the Transfiguration. And what happened? Jesus said, when you go down, don't tell anybody else about this vision. Keep quiet. My goodness, how many people can keep quiet? You think it's easy to keep quiet? About all the wonderful things that you have seen. When I, let's say James, made out of Bartholomew, he was so excited when I tell him. Obviously, isn't it? That's why keeping the commandment is important. What is that to you, Peter? If this man should tell it to you, I come. You follow me. When God give a message, you follow the message. Huh. Don't be like all these others. That's why you see in Branhamism, they are grouping up together as a big organization. I'm an outsider. For years I've been attacked since 1984. You know, when I wrote the book, I mean, since 84, when I saw 81 over the travel, I saw all the things that was going on. But always 74, I was already attacked before I went out to the mission field. But you know what? Now, many of them realize when they read what we have, they apologize. Huh? Are they even making fun of me in the Facebook? They say all kinds of things. There are those brothers who knew me, who saw it. Have you read Bargan's book? Have you heard him preach before? You know. And they are picking nitty gritty things. You know, our books, in the front page we have this, what do you call it? License to print. And say we are not an organization or society. So because of that we don't have a bank account. Please send your offering if you have want to, you know, payable to Richard Gunn only, right? If you write prophetic revelation, we don't have an account of prophetic revelation. And somebody said, see, payable to him only. I said, I'm pocketing the money. How much money comes in through that? People send $1, $2 by post. That's about it, all I have. In those years, you know, because they want a book, and they just send offering for the postage. But they're making fun of me. And the other brother said, What is that? What's so childish you act? You know, I'm not someone that will run away from my responsibility because of what's going on. But I know that God is light and in Him is no darkness. And even if Jesus said, take heed how you hear and what you hear. In the last few years I've been preaching on this and emphasizing this in many places I've been. Take heed what you hear and how you hear. For in many hearing, they hear not. What is the difference between listening and hearing? Is there a difference? Is there a difference? Yeah, he said there is a difference. But Jesus said, in hearing, they hear not. It means in hearing, they hear not means that they are not really listening. That's the word that the Bible used. Hearing, they hear not means that they are not listening. Hearing means to hear sounds. Hear voices, hear words. But listening is able to perceive the meaning to what is being said. You see. That's why sometimes you know talk to a child and say, It means they're not listening. They're just hearing you. Words goes in, words goes out. But they're not listening to you. You see. And the Bible used the word listen in the Old Testament only one time. But actually it was translated only using the word one time. But other words are used using the word hearing. It's come from the Hebrew word shama. To pay attention, to comprehend. Many people do not comprehend. And if you want to blame Jesus Christ is how many? Just like I draw that circle. He preached to 3,000, 2,000, 4,000, right? Correct? What happened to these people? Remember, God is building a house. But it's certainly that when God's household is, it's going to be a little group. Not the whole world. But then he came to us, he put thousands and thousands of them. But he has a smaller circle of 120. And yet a smaller circle of 70. And yet even a smaller circle of 12. And even a smaller one of 3. And finally, there's only one that stands up, and it was John. How is it so? See, God is pyramid. The house of God is a pyramid shape. How close you wanted to be with him. And yet when Jesus Christ preached to the thousands, he preached in parables. And I never understand how the churches don't recognize or come to really understand why did Jesus preach in parables. And yet Jesus gave the answer. Even the disciples couldn't understand a thing at all about the parables. It sounds so nice. That's why people go to church, it sounds so nice for a preacher to come out, quote a scripture and preach a message. Sounds so good. Jesus is feeding them. Yes. But yet, the mystery is not revealed to them. But to the disciple, because the disciple asked Jesus, what do you preach in parable? Jesus Christ said, when I do that, I fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah. That in hearing, they hear not. They have desire to hear, but they are not really hearing. So I'm giving them in parables. And see what they're going to do. And how many people out there are like Nicodemus? Right? They came to Jesus Christ because they knew that this is something here that this man had taught. Let me come up to him and ask him how to get eternal life. And then when Jesus Christ said, he must be born again. Huh? Born again? What's that? I go back as a baby to my mother's womb. Jesus said, what? You are a lawyer, you are a teacher of the law, and you don't even know what I'm saying. How can you that when you teach the people? And Jesus then explained to him a little deeper. The wind blows wherever it likes, it leaves. Huh? That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The wind is likened unto the Spirit of God that is moving. And it touches the spirit of people. And unto the disciple that you don't know, come. Unto you is made known the mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto you is made known the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's what my friends say. Oh, you're thinking about all the mysteries in the Bible. Of course! I want to know the mystery of God in the Bible. What God has planted for us in this generation. What his purpose is for us in this generation. Because in every generation, God has a purpose in the life of people. What is God doing today? Oh, just preach the gospel. God wants people to live the love of Christ, this and that. Oh, good. But we need to know the will and the purpose of God in our life. If we do not know his will, then we are in trouble. Isn't it true? God is no more whatever a man sows, so shall he also reap. And the world is reaping. America is reaping. The world is reaping all that environment pollution. The change of the weather now we are seeing. So, in ending, with all the situation right now, in US, the Middle East, Russia and all this, I wrote to a sister and we play our words. Because she was saying last month, when the month of March comes like a lion, comes in like a lion, and goes out like a lamb. Time's flying, right? I say, may the month, may be the time and the month. For the final trust and final move of God. Could it be? Maybe. Maybe the month. Not maybe the month, huh? Maybe the month. And because we know the 14th of May is the birthday of Israel, somebody dear. What is going to happen?
But I'm looking forward that something's going to happen, because you know what? Every time when I'm alone in the room, when I meditate and see about life and see about the problem, the pain that people have, I feel so sad. I feel very disappointed. And sometimes I just play the song, Nobody's Child, so I could weep and feel the pain of those who are blind. Not just born blind, but spiritually blind. They do not want to follow, because they want to continue living in this world. There is no future in this world. There is no future. The future lies in the Word of God. May the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for grace, O Lord. Bless, O Father, that which you have given us. That there is always a stirring in our heart, Father, to eat of the tree of life. For thou art like, and when we see the light, O Lord, we are no longer in darkness. And that we can see clearly to walk in thy will, according to what you have planned, Father, for us in this last day. We know, Father, the things that are to come upon this world. Yes, Lord. Many Christians are aware of the time that they live in. But they have forgotten, Father, to hear your word. They continue in their own tradition, not realizing, Father, that you are light. And in you there is no darkness, no tradition. And how that you hated it. And therefore, Father, we pray to bless us all in this fellowship. May our hearts, O Lord, always cry out for righteousness and cry out for the word of God and thirst after the truth of God, that we may be filled and quenched, Father. We ask for your grace today, now in Jesus' name. Amen.